Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
I just got to give you a disclaimer about this teaching tonight. This is going to be, for me, it was one of the most difficult letters to study. Up to this point, we're on the ninth letter, and it was so deep. It took me a couple of days really to dive in to try to figure out what God is trying to speak to us through this amazing letter, and it's incredible. So there's going to be some things perhaps you may have never heard before. There's going to be some things perhaps tonight you've thought, wow, where did that come from? But I will tell you this, it's out of the Word of God, and it's truth, and the Lord is going to help us. And so I want you tonight to put on your faith ears, your faith eyes, and just say, God, speak to my heart. Challenge me tonight to learn of you. And so in the book of Isaiah 45 and verse 7, I'm not going to say confusing, but a very challenging scripture. And I want to share this with you tonight. Isaiah 45 and verse 7 says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace. And look what the next part says, and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Have you ever just thought for a moment, God, the creator of goodness, the creator of his blessings, the orchestrator of redemption through his son Jesus Christ, would say that he creates evil? This is so intriguing to me tonight, and I want to unpack this in such a way that God will give us fresh understanding and help us and become engaged in what he's teaching us tonight. And so if you will, let's bow our heads and ask the help from the Holy Spirit and ask for the anointing, because I cannot do anything without the anointing and without the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time tonight. I have felt your presence in such a powerful way. You are here in this place. I pray tonight, speak to us, help us as we take this word that we've hidden in our hearts, that you will just open up your word to us and bring us a rhema word, bring us life, direction, and understanding. And so we bind every spirit of confusion, because confusion is not of you. We bind every spirit, Father, that would try to lead us into other directions, get our minds on other things, help our minds to be fresh tonight to receive what you would have. So this word go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit. A powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So we're going to be talking tonight about the letter Tate, and it is the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, or the Hebrew alphabet. But before we move any further, let's discuss a couple of weeks ago the letter Ket or Chet. And Chet, if you remember, means fence, or it was an inner chamber or a doorway. The first prophetic truth about our last letter, the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, was that Chet is the letter of life. If you remember that, we talked about how the Hebrew words Chayin, and that meant life, and Chayim, which means living, both begin with the same letter Chet. The second prophetic truth about Chet is the doorway, it's the doorway of life. And I want to walk in the doorway of life. How about you? It's amazing how God even lines up his letters, these Hebrew letters, in such a way that one leads to another and one points to another one. It's just incredible how God does this. Only God can do something like this. But it's the doorway of life. And of course, we see Ket can be resemble the doorway during Pesach, during Passover, as they put the blood of the lamb, you remember, on the doorpost. And I'll refer to that quite often. And then we talked about the pictograph of this letter Chet. It was a fence. And then we also said that the letter Chet, since it's the letter 8, the number 8, it also represents grace. Now, I thought about this because I always taught and always believed that 5 is the number of grace, and I believe that is true. But 8 also represents grace, and it's something that we have to understand, because grace is new beginnings. And that's what 8 represents. It's a new beginning. 7 was the completion. Then you start again with the letter 8. It's a new beginning. And so the gematria of the letter, of this number 8 of Chet represents grace. And then we look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, right? But Noah found grace. Everybody say grace in the eyes of the Lord. So it's a new beginning. Grace in my life is a new beginning. I don't know about you, but I need grace every day. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning, but I need God's sustaining power to help me do what's right every day of my life. And so we see this concept of new beginnings in Scripture. We see it, number one, the covenant of circumcision. It occurs when? On the 8th day. We also see the Lord reaffirms his covenant to Abraham. How many times does he do this? He does it 8 times. We see that King David was the 8th son of Jesse. Only God can orchestrate, calculate, calibrate things like this. We see Sukkot is the 8th day of Jewish festival. And Sukkot, by the way, is anticipation of the world to come. Of how many's ready for heaven? I'm telling you, we are at the end of the end. Everybody's talking about Damascus. Damascus perhaps is the oldest city in the world, and how in Isaiah it talks about in these last days, Damascus is going to be destroyed, and we're seeing all of these things. You know, someone said something about they had a red heifer already in Israel. They were getting things ready for the Temple Mount, the 26 acres or 22 acres, how many acres it is on the getting ready for to establish a Jewish temple there. There's a lot of things falling in place. So we are in the last days, but one of the best things, I believe, Brother Dale, that is bringing me fresh understanding, revelation that we are in the last days, is that we are in the days of Noah. There's no doubt about it. And this is what this whole chat was about. There were 8 souls that were saved during the great flood of Noah. 8 souls. And then Noah, of course, it was become a new beginning. And that's why it said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So number 9, the 9th letter. Now, I will tell you, it can be complicated. I'll just tell you again, right off the bat, but we prayed God would give us understanding. But I believe this, Brother Jeremy, as long as we continue our walk with God, God will help us get a better grasp on his grace and mercy when it comes to deep things. You know, Brother Vernon, it says deep crieth unto deep, right? Deep calleth unto deep. And God, there's secret things of the Lord that God wants to unveil to us. And that means it's going to take some time to put yourself in a position to receive the things that God has for us. So this letter Tet or Tate, and now I will have the habit because I've been saying this quite often, but it's actually pronounced T-E-T, is actually pronounced Tate, T-A-T-E. But we will say Tet sometimes or Tate sometimes. It's an unusual looking letter. It's unlike the other letters, but it's unusual looking. And there's a reason why it is shaped the way it's shaped. And it's simply because this 9th letter right here, the reason it's shaped the way it's shaped, because it literally means a twisting, a coiling, C-O-I-L-I-N-G, or a snake. And if you would take the embodiment of all 3 of those descriptions, it basically means to surround. Now, you got God who says in Isaiah 45 and verse 7, he created light, he creates darkness, he creates peace, he creates evil. And now he has a letter that he has created that symbolizes or literally means a snake. And so tonight, my subtitle would be called The Mystery of Evil. The Mystery of Evil. But there's something that's going on that God knew even before the worlds were framed. God knew something was going to take place. And so he had to calibrate things. He had to create things in order for it all to fit in place. These 3 letters, you have the pre-Canaanite letter. And then you have Moses' letter, and then you have David's letter. They pretty much all look the same. They're about the exact identical pictures of the letter. Then the modern form of the letter Tate is this letter here that absolutely kind of looks like a snake. And if I forget to mention, you can go to your book, Psalms Division 119. If you have the older style of Bible, it will show you this letter above 119 verses 65 through 72, just in case I forget to mention that, okay? The mystery of evil. And this is so interesting to me because it's a prophetic truth. It truly is a prophetic truth, the mystery of evil. So that's the first one, this mystery of evil. Isaiah 45 and 7 said, I form the light. Jesus or God is saying this. And I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I want to tell you something right off the bat. There's a lot of people that believe that God is not sovereign, but they are deceived. God is sovereign. He is in total control of everything. Now, so this is a paradoxical letter. Tate is. In both that it reveals something, this snake here actually is going to reveal something good, but it also will reveal something evil. It's a paradox. Like you have twisting and coiling and to surround. You have this letter that's a little bit unusual. What is this mystery of evil? If you remember what happened in the book of Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 1 and verse 4, it says that God saw the light and it was good, and God divided the light from what? He divided it from the darkness. And so this letter Tate reveals good and evil. So God saw the light. He saw that the light was good. But God did this one thing. And this is what you're doing as a disciple of Christ. God made a distinction between the light and the darkness. That's what he did. And the reason he did that is so God could separate the two. You have good, you have evil. There has to be a separation. There has to be. Sister Haley, there has to be. When God tells us, you know, the Apostle Paul writes and he says, come out from among them, right? He tells us, don't touch the things that are unholy. He says, be ye separate. He's talking about consecration. There has to be a separation. Amen? And, you know, I struggle with that sometimes because there are people who say, well, I'm a believer, but they don't believe the entire Bible. And they'll justify their actions and they'll say, well, the Bible says, let's work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But what good are you working something out when God explicitly says, do not do such and such, right? So the reason I believe God allowed this distinction, this separation, is this reason here. We would never know redemption if darkness or evil was never created. We would never know what it's like to be saved. We would never know, Brother Dale, what it's like to be forgiven. We would never know what it's like to even have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I will go even further in my apologetics tonight. I will say we would never know Jesus if evil was never created. So, how God uses, this is a good question, how God uses evil in the universe for his own good as a purpose, for his own good and his own purpose is a mystery. It truly is. But we are assured that his steadfast love endures forever and all that God creates is good. There's a reason. In other words, when you look at Genesis 1 and verse 31, you look at the scripture, and it'll be on your screen. You look at the scripture and he says, and God saw everything that he made and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God sees everything. He sees the distinction, the separation. He sees the evil. He sees the darkness. He sees all these things and he says they're good. So what is this? How can I convey this truth to you tonight, to myself tonight? Your situation right now may not seem good at the time, but God has a good purpose in mind for you. That's what's so beautiful about God. His ways are higher than my ways, is what Isaiah 55 tells us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Jeremiah tells us, you know, what's it, 29:11? Jeremiah 29:11, you know, the thoughts he thinks. He wants to give us a purpose. He wants to give us an expected end. He wants to give us hope. You know, and so we need to truly understand that God is on our side. That's why the Apostle Paul can write Romans 8:28 and say, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So the second prophetic truth. Now we've established that God here, he's created this evil, and you have this snake, and I'm not a fan of snakes. Anybody a fan of snakes? Not much of a fan of snakes. But we have this snake here, and we're trying to unwrap, try to get some revelation of what God is doing. Well, here it is. The second prophetic truth about Tate is in the choices we make. God's made a distinction, right, between evil and good. Look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It's going to be on your screen. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." What does he say? "Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Now, he's given us a distinction. He's helping us say, hey, now here that is. You have good, you have evil. I've created these things. Now it's up to you what, are you ready for this? What becomes twisted in your life, what becomes coiled in your life, or who surrounds your life. It's up to you if you're going to allow this snake, the symbol of Satan. Of course, a serpent was much different in the garden than a snake, but it would help us then to understand, I don't want to be choked by a snake. I heard a story years and years ago of a gentleman, I don't even know what they call the science, that people that collect reptiles and that collect snakes, and they had this big aquarium and had this snake. And so this one fellow, he had this humongous boa constrictor, and it was somewhere around 8 feet long, and he would let it go around in the house, because it's just so big, and I couldn't do that. But he noticed something that was happening. He noticed that he would wake up, and that snake, that boa constrictor, was laid completely straight as a board. I mean, just straight out beside his bed. He noticed that, and then he, you know, thought, "What in the world? I guess the snake wants to be beside me." And every day, every morning, he would wake up in that snake. And finally, he decided he'd go to the place where he had purchased this animal. And he asked them, he said, I just don't know what's going on with this snake. Why is this snake? And they said, "Get rid of the snake now." And he's like, "Why?" He says, "Because that snake is measuring you. It's measuring you." Don't think for a moment, like my stick, don't think for a moment that the devil is not measuring your life. The best way is to have the devil realize, you're going to measure me, you're going to measure Christ. And so it's a choice. We have to choose. Boy, that was a powerful anointing. So the letter Tate can picture either the man that is in rebellion before God or the man that is surrendered before God. Now, I didn't have time to really deep. I don't want to dive into this. These crowned letters, they're called Tagin, T-A-G-I-N. And basically, you will see if you ever get into reading Hebrew, which if you do, praise God. I mean, I'm not one that gets into a lot of that. But you will see every once in a while, you'll see three dots above a letter. And you'll think, what in the world is that? Those dots basically are called Tagin. And they're symbols, and it's what it's known as, a crowned letter. And I wanted to point this out today because these Torah scrolls especially, they have these crowned letters in them. And when a man is bowed down, bent over to the crown, he takes upon himself that yoke. All right? Now stay with me. The lesson is here is to be very cautious of who or what you are yoked to. Remember, Tate is to surround, to twist or to coil. It's a coiling snake. It's a good description. And if the soul of a man refuses to bow down and rebels, the inner man will take upon him the characteristics of the snake. They are choosing death. When you rebel against God, oh, I hear the Holy Spirit say something, Sister Charlotte. Goody, goody, goody. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Woo, Jesus. These altars are open right now. That is so powerful. And so we don't realize that we are rebelling against the delegated authority of God, His Word, and we are putting on the crown of the enemy. We are crowning ourselves by becoming yoked to the devil. And if a man chooses to follow his own rules, if a man chooses to follow his own autonomy, he will share the fate the devil did. The very beginning in Genesis. What happened? What was the curse on the devil? He would slither, yeah. They said he had wings. They said the serpent had wings. I don't know about all that, but he would, for the rest of his days, would eat dirt. Isn't that something? So look at Genesis 3, verse 14. That's what it says. Be on your screen. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above all beasts of the field, above thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. There was a Brother Jeremy, there was a transition that took place. This serpent could have been a beautiful animal. It was speaking, it was talking, it had the ability to even talk to Adam and to Eve. And now it is brought low and eating dirt the rest of its days. Tate is seen in the choices that we make. And I think sometimes we don't think that the choices we make have an impact on others, but they absolutely do. I want to show you something that happened with Moses. Moses is a great example of this, what I'm teaching. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 2, listen to what it says. It'll be on your screen. It says, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. Okay? And he said, cast it on the ground. And so Moses cast it on the ground. And what happened? It became a serpent, a snake. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by thy tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it. And what happened when he caught it? It became the rod in his hand. All right? So this is what takes place. Moses' staff represents the scepter of Moses' human authority. Remember, here's Moses. He's lifting up his staff. What is taking place? The Red Sea is parting. It's human authority given by God. And God asked him to take that human authority, take that scepter, take that rod, and to throw it down. And when Moses threw it down, something happened. The carnal staff became a spiritual staff of the Lord, even though it contained the principle of the snake. Carnality, that's the principle. It became carnal. So this is what we learn. We're learning something here. We learn that later in Scripture, you got to connect the dots. Later in Scripture, we learn that Moses used that same rod that was powerful. He threw it down. He threw his authority down. It became a snake. It was a symbol of carnality. He picks it up. It's back to what God called him to use it for. But all of a sudden, we learn that Moses takes this rod and he sins with the same staff in a carnal way by striking the rock twice. Meaning, Moses attempted to retake his own authority or autonomy instead of choosing the will of the Lord. That's why Tate is such a mysterious letter, the mystery of evil, Because if we're not careful, we can become ensnared, coiled, twisted, or surrounded by our own carnality. Out of anger, out of frustration, out of lust, out of jealousy, out of unfaithfulness, and the list can go on. So how Tate will be seen in our lives will depend on our decision to be yoked to God or our decision to bow to our own selfish desires. My grandma Brown used to say this. She used to say, birds of a feather flock together, right? Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, and we're about to close. Paul says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So let me just caution you real quick. Can I throw something out free of charge? Is it okay? Say if it's okay. If it's not okay, too bad. I'm up here. I'm going to do it anyway. There's this, something's happening, grabbing the world by storm. You may have not heard about it. It's called the Ethiopian Bible. The Ethiopian Bible is supposed to be more accurate Bible than the Bible that we have. But the truth about this Ethiopian Bible is that it's not healthy. They pretend to say, well, they have the book of Enoch. They have Yashir, the book of Jasher. We would call it Jasher, but the book of Yashir. They have other books that are in this Ethiopian Bible. But let me caution you real quick. There's something about this Ethiopian Bible that people don't realize. In this Ethiopian Bible that is twisting, that is a coiling snake, and that is surrounding people, is that it teaches that Jesus is divine. But they don't believe that Jesus was ever human. What does the Bible say about that, Brother Dale? That is the spirit of Antichrist. If you do not believe or say or profess that Jesus came in the flesh. Take that Ethiopian Bible. Either take it back, get your money back, or burn it. Because it is exactly what the devil intends to try to cause confusion, division, and another, as Jesus warned, false prophet in this world. It's very dangerous. So let's talk about application. How do I make pure application of this message? Well, we are talking about the pictograph. It's a symbol, a sign, or a letter of a word. And I have always said how important it is that the Hebrew word pictures do not replace, define, or limit Scripture. Only they illustrate Scripture. We see that this pictograph of the Hebrew letter Tate is the picture of a snake. And it's coiled up. I did the best I could. Coiled up in a basket when I drew this today. Coiled up in a basket. I have to do it during the day because if I draw it weeks before, it will get erased and it will smudge. And so I have to do it the day I'm preaching. And so this number is the number 9. There's something interesting. The way God calibrates his letters, the way he puts them in order. This incredible truth about Tate is this. Tate is the least frequent letter in the Hebrew alphabet when it comes to the Bible. It comes to the Torah. It is the least used letter. There's something there. What does that mean? Well, if we know it's the least, what's the most? It is the next letter, Yod. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. The most popular letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Yod, and that is the first letter of Jehovah. Now wait, I'm going to show you something. Romans, and we got to realize this. There's a lot of evil in this world, right? There's a lot of, but let me show you something. Even though there's so much evil, there's still more God. Understand that if you do not get that, if you do not get that component and that principle in your life established, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time walking in authority, canceling and cursing death off your life. I was there. I know what you were going through, Sister Charlotte. You're going to have a hard time binding the demonic spirits. If you go around and say, oh, we're in the last days, there's so much evil. Understand this concept. There's more of us than there of them. Look what Paul writes in Romans 5 and verse 20, the second part of that scripture. He says, but where sin abounded, what's it say? Grace did much more abound. So it brings me to the story of Elisha. They were at Dothan, and his servant were surrounded by the Assyrian army in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they shall be with us more, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, here it is, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full. Oh, hallelujah. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I believe that for you right now. We had a discussion last night with some of the things that were happening in Leechville, something that happened recently in our hometown. There are a lot of things that's going on in this world. It's just been cuckoo, right? And my daughter, my beautiful daughter, spoke up. She said, I can't believe it's this close. She says, why is it this close? I said, Macy, we're just living in the last days. But I assured her that the angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear him. And these are that what Elisha and his servants saw, these angels of the Lord, chariots of fire surrounding people. Did you know that happened again? Hezekiah echoes these same words to encourage the people of God who are surrounded by Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And look at 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. It says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Man, that's awesome. I want you to walk tomorrow, and you're going through hard times and you're trying to make choices. Just know that there's more of us. There's more of God than there of them, the enemy. That's why he only kicked a third out of heaven. That leaves two-thirds, right? We are the majority. Amen? So Romans 8:31, the last scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's stand together. What if we determine then tonight? I'm going to choose. I've got to choose. Am I going to choose life or am I going to choose death? I'm going to choose life. I determine to choose life. God has made the distinction. He's given me the grace and the mercy to understand the distinction. And now I take it upon myself the responsibility to choose life. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this word. We thank you for your presence and your anointing on our lives. Thank you for helping us and speaking to us and invading us with your presence, Lord. And I know I'm not alone in this battle. I know there are many great soldiers standing tonight that love you, God, with all their heart and are hungry for you. I pray, Father, your blessings upon them, that you would keep them, guide them, direct them. All of us, Father, a special anointing upon us, and we give you the glory. Thank you for healing. Thank you for touching Sister Charlotte and healing her body. Thank you, Father, for the progress that we're making in people's lives. There's still needs, God. We're ready to fight. We're ready to go to war. We're going to war for Roy. We're going to war for people that are really struggling, that need healing, that need strength, Father. Going to war for this nation, God, that Jesus would be high and lifted up. And if he be high and lifted up, he would draw all men to himself. And we want to be drawn to you. And we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Let's say our Aaronic Kohanim blessing first in Hebrew, then in English. Then we'll dismiss. Yay, Vare, Kakal, and I, Vesmare, call your odd, and I, Panavala, Kavia, way, Nakal, Yasad, and I, Panavala, Kavia, Sam, Lakal, Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee and heal the Lord.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.